Every year, on the third Sunday of January, the Philippines has a special privilege of celebrating not a Sunday in ordinary time, but the feast of the Santo Niño. That's today. This feast has historical roots, of course, that go way back to 1521, more than 500 years now, when the first Christians arrived in the Philippines, the Magellan expedition, and they brought with them a small statue of the child Jesus, the Santo Niño. We know that the Europeans left after a few weeks, but the Santo Niño remained. We don't know really what the people of Cebu thought of that statue. We don't know how well they understood the Christian religion, but we do know that when Christians arrived again 44 years later, the Legazpi expedition, they were astonished to find that the Santo Niño was still there. And that image, that little statue of Jesus as a child, is still venerated in Cebu to this day. It's a sign of the arrival of the Christian faith. It's a sign of the remarkable evangelization of the Philippines. Now, we focused a lot on this history a couple of years ago because we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the arrival of the gospel in the Philippines. So I won't go more into the history today. Today we can go a little further into some of the many things that we learn from this ancient and venerable devotion. We can go back, first of all, not to 1521, but to the days when Jesus really was a child in his earthly life. We know that when Jesus was a child, he never dressed in royal robes like that with the red robes. He never had a big golden crown. He never had a globe in his hand, literally. Jesus was a poor child. In fact, at the age usually portrayed by the Santo Niño, which is about 2 or 3 years old, Jesus was probably in exile in Egypt. The Holy Family had fled the persecution of King Herod, and they were living in Egypt as exiles, as refugees. So that was certainly a very difficult time for the Holy Family. The Church does not insist that we focus only on that period of time in Jesus' life. For example, in the Gospel I just read this morning, the story of the finding of Jesus in the temple, Jesus is not a little child, not a little Santo Niño. He's already 12 years old in this gospel passage, and he's taking his place among the adults, as a young adult among the teachers of the law in Jerusalem. So the devotion to Santo Niño is not limited to that short period of Jesus' earthly life when he was a child, and he's not a child now. Rather, it's a reflection on the identity of Jesus as both God and man. His royal robes and his crown and holding the globe in his hand are signs that he is Christ the King, King of the universe. He's the child prophesied by Isaiah in today's first reading. A child is born for us, a son is given us. Upon his shoulder dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. This is no ordinary child. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior of the world. This is the one who comes as the fulfillment of that ancient prophecy of Isaiah. But his greatness, his divine identity is combined with the littleness and weakness and humility of a child. He is God who has become man. He is the Word of the Father who is also born of Mary. And this makes the image of the Santo Niño a very profound one, and actually a good study of what we celebrated throughout the Christmas season. We can learn from today's feast, which is also Holy Childhood Day in the Church, that there's a connection between how we welcome God into our lives and how we welcome children into our lives. The Filipinos of the 16th and 17th centuries, and actually onward, opened their hearts to God and to children, to faith and to family, to the Catholic faith, Catholic family, and to family life. And both grew. The church family and the human families continued to grow. But you know that in our times, we see a disturbing trend. Neither God nor children are being welcomed, even in the Philippines. In other parts of the world, it has become obvious that children are often not welcomed in society and are sometimes violently rejected. Many countries are suffering from severe population decline because, for many reasons, but one of the reasons is people simply don't want to have any more children. Not even enough to replace themselves, what they call the demographic winter. And there are people who believe that it's wrong to have a child, that it's wrong to burden the globe or burden the environment with more people. That's how far we have gone from the welcoming of children into God. Now, this trend is not as severe here as it is in other countries, but even here, we know that the human family and the family of faith are both in decline. Now, we don't have to dwell on the negative side of these phenomena, and the factors behind them are very numerous and complex. But what we can focus on today is the remedy that this feast day provides: Jesus Christ, God and child. Because today we're reminded of the beauty of childhood and the beauty of children. And we're reminded that we ourselves are called, as followers of Jesus Christ, to be like children. It's part of being disciples. It's part of being followers of one who came as a child himself. In preparation for the feast day today, I received a circular letter from the Pontifical Society for the Holy Childhood, one of the mission societies of the Church. And in this letter, the author quotes from an address of Pope Francis, who says this: "There are so many gifts, so many riches that children bring to humanity. Children are in and of themselves a treasure for humanity and also for the Church, for they constantly evoke that necessary condition for entering the kingdom of God, that of not considering ourselves self-sufficient, but in need of help, of love, of forgiveness." Children are so often looked at as burdens, and it is a responsibility to care for children, but they are also a treasure, a priceless treasure, and they teach us what we are to be. In this circular letter, it goes on to mention that we have entered into the Jubilee year, and the theme of the Jubilee year is Pilgrims of Hope. Well, children are naturally signs of hope, natural hope, but also signs to us of our eternal hope because Jesus became a child. In the Jubilee Year of Hope, let us recognize the extraordinary role of children, not only as recipients of care, but as carriers of hope, inspiring and joining us in building a new, more humane, just, and peaceful world. When our hearts are open to children, we're open to everyone. We're open to making the world a better place because we want it to be better for our children and our grandchildren. Pope Francis reminds us of the countless children worldwide who live in challenging conditions, those battling illness, enduring hunger, experiencing violence, or being cruelly robbed of their childhood due to war, poverty, and exploitation. Their voices, filled with suffering yet yearning for goodness, call us to concrete action and remind us of our shared responsibility to truly care for one another. So that's some quotes from the circular letter. Today, then, is an opportunity for us to renew our love for Jesus Christ, the Santo Niño, and also to imitate him with childlike humility and dependence on God, and also to open our hearts to the children in our midst, to love and care for them. Because after all, Jesus told us very clearly, whatever we do for the least of his brothers, for the most needy or neglected or suffering child, we do to him.